Well, it's good to have you all, and you did sound amazing in that round of singing. That was amazing. Good job on all. How many of you have heard that song before? Stick up your hand if you've heard it before. A very select few people have heard that before. Wow. I'm very surprised. Ooh, a little bit of ring in my mic there. Maybe we can see if we can get rid of that for everybody's listening pleasure. Well, before we get in, today's message is all about joy. And the first thing I want to do is I want to share a joy about you guys. You saw a thank you slide up on the screen there just a second ago. I want to say thank you to you very specifically, okay, to all of you, because of who you are and how gracious and generous you are. Because of your generosity, all of Life Center, we have been able to sow $155,000 into 15 different ministries or charities that are making a Jesus-sized difference in our cities, in our nation, and around the world. Thanks to your generosity, we've been able to do that. We've been able to bless over 206 children through our Gift for Kids offering that we took up just a few weeks ago. 206 kids will have gifts because of your generosity. Amazing. We're going to prepare approximately 357 food hampers, Christmas dinners, that will bless approximately 1,428 people this Christmas. They'll have a Christmas dinner, again, because of your generosity. Now, here's some statistics that are big. In 2024, we've been able to donate around $2.6 million worth of food and goods into the community, right? That's amazing. That's amazing. $2.6 million worth of food and goods that we've been able to give away to the community. That's amazing. Now, listen to this. Did you know that as Life Center grows, right now there's approximately 2,600 people that call Life Center home across all of our campuses? So when you do that math, $2.6 million worth of goods for 2,600 people, that's like on average each of you being able to bless the community with $1,000 worth of goods or food, which is amazing. Isn't God good that he's allowed our church to be such a blessing to our community? As well, this Christmas, we've had shopping days for 218 vulnerable parents and kids in Life Center Canada and at our Life Center Care in Orleans. As well, we've been able to partner with organizations in our community that are doing the exact same thing, with over 200 people being served in those places as well. Your generosity has enabled all of this to make a huge Jesus-sized difference in our city and in our community. It's not us, it's you guys that are being able to make this possible. And so I wanted to say, on behalf of all the staff and us as organization of Life Center, we are so thankful for your willingness to say yes, your willingness to be generous with your time, your treasure, and your talent to make a difference in the city, because it is making such a huge difference. And so we thank you for participating in the dreams that God puts on our hearts to say, what if we could? And then you guys just rise to the occasion and blow us away with your generosity. We are so thankful for you. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do. Why don't you guys give yourselves a round of applause here? Come on. That's amazing that we're able to give that. And I'm sure that most of those statistics are us lowballing it so that we're not overestimating that. We're not trying to pad the stats, but we're trying to be conservative in it to make sure that, you know, we're being realistic with what we're doing. So I want to thank you for that. Well, this service is all about joy, isn't it not? It's a joyful celebration of singing together, of seeing what God is doing through our generosity and our giving and our ability just to bless our neighbors and everything like that. So I want to give you just a small testimony of joy this morning. And it's a different way of seeing joy. I'm going to say it this way. I'm joyful that I didn't have my wheels fall off the truck on the highway on Wednesday night. You may be like, what? Well, I was driving the big truck that we used to transport our goods all over the place. I was bringing some goods down to Cornwall from our Life Center care facility, and then I was going to pick up at Matrix the next morning. And as I'm driving here about midnight, all of a sudden the back wheels on the driver's side of the truck fall right off. Absolutely. So I'm joyful that that didn't happen on the highway. 5 minutes earlier, I was on the highway. But I'm joyful it happened right in front of the Ultramar at Tollgate and in McConnell, where I was just able to slide over to the side of the road, and Herb's Towing is just 200 meters up the road. And so Herb's Towing came and grabbed the truck and took it off while I went and got a new truck, rented a new truck to be able to continue on with all that God's going to do. So you may be like, that's an awful situation. I choose to see the joy in it, that God spared a very dangerous and costly experience on the highway rather than on the side street in the city where the costs were only towing. Isn't God good? Right? Now, after service, I'm telling you that now because we can celebrate even in the midst of some chaos, right? And so at the end of the service, I'm going to give you a chance to share with your neighbor something that you want to celebrate. Okay, so I'm just priming the pump right now. You can think of something that you can turn to one of the people beside you and say, here's what I would love to celebrate today. With joy, I can celebrate this. Even if you're right now in the midst of trying circumstances. Because even in the midst of everything going on, we can have joy. All right. So last Sunday, we received the gift of shalom, of peace on earth, through the Prince of Peace, Jesus. In the midst of a lost and broken world, in the midst of chaos or loss in our lives, we trust that God will eventually make all things new. And it starts with us. When we're made new in Christ, our peace is a gift from God. It allows us to rest in Him. And I encourage you, if you're missing peace in your life or if you've missed last week's message, go online, listen to our podcast, and remind yourself of the peace that we have in Christ. May it be a peace that passes all understanding for you. And in the Christmas story, we hear this heavenly proclamation of joy, of great joy for us in Luke. In Luke 2, 9 to 12, it says this. It says, then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And I want to remind you of this extraordinary truth today. That the same God who is able to was faithful in fulfilling his prophetic word concerning Jesus is the same unchanging Jesus God that we worship today. This truth is the bedrock of our joy. Now, without judgment, let's start with a question. Okay, what does prophecy have to do with joy? What does prophecy have to do with joy? Well, I'm glad you asked. Now buckle up. If you love math and probabilities, you're going to love this. And if you don't, then marvel at the greatness of things you don't understand. Okay? In his peer verified book, Science Speaks, Professor Peter Stoner, chairman of the departments of mathematics and astronomy. It's going to be a long day. Astronomy at Pasadena City College in the science division at Westmount College, he calculated the mathematical probability of one person fulfilling just 8 messianic prophecies. And he calculated it as 1 in 10 to the power of 17. Or if you want to wrap your hand around the number, 1 in 100 quadrillion. Wow. Yeah, you can see it up there. That's the probability of one person fulfilling 8 prophetic messianic prophecies. That's just 8. Well, how about 48? Because the odds become 1 in 10 to the power of 157. That's a lot of zeros. That's a lot of zeros. I don't even know what number it is. They don't give it a number because they said it's never a number that you'll ever use, so there doesn't need to be a number for it, like a name for the number. So again, what does this have to do with judgment? I'm glad you asked again. You have statistically better odds of winning Lotto 649's biggest lottery than Jesus fulfilling only 8, let alone 48 of the hundreds that he has fulfilled. Now, that's not an endorsement for you to try the lottery. It's not an endorsement saying you have better odds. If anything, it should tell you that you cannot save yourself, that you do not have control of your destiny the way you think you may. Now, some of you may like visuals instead, all right? And so you can see a new visual up on the screen there for you. Now, imagine this. Imagine Ontario, the whole province of Ontario, was covered 2 feet deep, not in snow, even though some of us may want that, but 2 feet deep in identical loonies, okay? And at random, one unique loony was dropped somewhere in Ontario that was distinct from all other coins. The statistical probability of you, while being blindfolded on your own, could reach out and pick out the one distinct loony. That's higher than Jesus, the probability of Jesus being able to fulfill the hundreds of biblical prophecies about him being the Messiah. Does that give you a mental image of the uniqueness of Jesus being able to fulfill all the different Old Testament prophecies? Isaiah alone, the one book of Isaiah who was a prophet in the Old Testament, it contains 102 prophecies that Jesus perfectly fulfills. And these prophecies are specific, detailed, and remarkable. They foretell the pre-existence of the Messiah, that he would be alive before he was actually born on earth, that the Messiah would be God incarnate, God in flesh. Talks about how the Messiah would be the Son of God. That it prophesies, it includes the era, the time, and the date of his coming. They also include the seed, the race, the nation, the tribe, and his family. They were descriptive of his birth, how it would happen in his childhood. That he would be there would be a forerunner, John the Baptist, who would precede the Messiah. That he would have distinctive character-based attributes, that while on earth there were specific events that he would fulfill, that there would be specific miracles that he would perform, that he would be a servant to God the Father, and that he would come to Israel, but he would come for all people, and that he would provide salvation. 102 prophecies specifically about Jesus just in Isaiah. Isn't that amazing? He fulfills every single one. Well, let's just pause for a moment just to marvel at how all of Scripture points to Jesus. In Genesis, Jesus is the seed who will crush the serpent's head in Genesis 3:15. In Exodus, he is the spotless lamb sacrificed for our redemption in Exodus 12:5. In Numbers, he is the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, bringing healing in Numbers 21:9. In Deuteronomy, he takes the curse for us as he hangs on the tree, Deuteronomy 21:23. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer who buys us back from bondage, Ruth 4:4-9. And that is just the beginning. In every single book of the Bible, Jesus is there. He's whispering his name, revealing God's redemptive plan for humanity. So what does this mean for us today? It means that every time that you open your Bible, you have the opportunity to see Jesus, to encounter the one who loves you, who died for you, and who lives today to intercede for you every single time you open your Bible. Isn't that amazing? Not one opportunity to open your scripture and see something is not Jesus calling out, I am the one that you're looking for. Now let's bring it back to joy. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet who was known for his sorrow, and he was actually called the weeping prophet. Yet it was Nehemiah who declared, do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what is this joy that Nehemiah speaks of? Now here's what it isn't. It's not a denial of the pain or difficulty, because he knew what those things were. It is the strength that comes from knowing the faithfulness of God. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Surprised by Joy, he captures this beautifully. He describes joy not as a mere pleasure or happiness, because we know those things are fleeting, but as an unsatisfied longing that is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. For Lewis, joy was a glimpse of something greater, a pointer to the ultimate fulfillment found only in God. He wrote this. He said, it was when I was happiest that I longed most. And the sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to find the place where all the beauty came from. This is our joy. It's a longing that points us to Jesus, the source of all beauty, hope, and redemption. And at Christmas, we don't only see a baby in a manger. We see the miraculous fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies. We see the faithfulness of God through generations. We see the redemption of God reaching into our brokenness. We see the power of God restoring a lost and broken world. The detail of God who sees, who knows, and cares about the things that make us anxious. This joy isn't just for one season, it's for every day. It's the joy of knowing that the same God who fulfilled every prophecy is the God who holds you in his hands. This isn't just a feel-good Christmas service. It's meant for our everyday lives. Paul writes in Romans, he says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. This doesn't mean life is easy. It doesn't mean that we won't face trials or heartache. But it does mean that in every circumstance, we can trust that God is working for our ultimate good. The psalmist would say, how lovely is your dwelling place, God. Psalmist knows that this place that we deal with right now, this is not our dwelling place. That there's something more that we're longing for, that we're holding on to, that God provides for us, that can give us joy despite our circumstances. And Paul writes, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Oh, such joy that we have because of who he is and what he has prepared for us. In Revelation, John paints a beautiful picture of our ultimate joy. God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then the one who is seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Friends, this is the joy that we hold on to. The promise of a future where all things are made new, where every pain is redeemed, and where we dwell with God forever. So how do we live in this joy today? By keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, by looking for him in the scriptures, by trusting his promises and leaning in his presence. The word joy in Greek was derived from the same root word as rejoice, both being understood as this, to delight in God's grace. To rejoice literally is to experience God's grace, his favor, to be continuously glad for his grace. When we sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, we're singing, we rejoice because of his grace. God is with us. Amazing, isn't it? And so what does this have to do with judgment? You ask a third time. I'm glad you asked again. What judgment do we use when putting our faith in our own ideas or the ideas of others? What judgment do we use when we place our trust in the institutions and structures around us? What judgment do we use when facing tough circumstances and we look around for options? What judgment do we use in deciding what we will believe is truth? Prophetically, Scripture leaves no room for doubt, no room for alternatives, no room for argument that God, in his infinite love for us, has shown grace and favor to us to send us his only begotten Son so that we may rejoice, that we may find life in him and have joy. That we may, like the Apostle Paul, would cry out in Philippians to those that were losing sight of it, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Today, we have great reason to rejoice in the Lord. And today, I will say it again, rejoice. Matthew, in recording the resurrection of Christ in chapter 28, after the women leave the empty tomb and the angel tells them to go and say the tomb is empty to the disciples, as they turn to leave, they have an encounter. They encounter Jesus. And the first word he says to them, can you guess it? Rejoice. Now, your Bible may interpret it as greetings, but in the original Greek, the best word to translate it is rejoice. Rejoice to understand that we have his grace. God's grace is with you because Jesus is risen. He has come. Delight in this living grace. Christ is risen. Against all odds, against all human judgment, God is gracious in showing his favor to us. Now here's the thing, God doesn't take joy lightly or see it as something to be shared with our favorite sports teams winning trophies or seeing things go our way. That really isn't what he thinks of joy as. C.S. Lewis again would say this, that joy is the serious business of heaven. It's not about pretending everything is perfect. It's about anchoring our hearts in the one who is perfect. So for us today, the God who has fulfilled hundreds of prophecies is the God who sees you today. He sees you exactly where you are. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same faithfulness that could fulfill hundreds of prophecies through Christ is the same God who can fulfill everything He has planned for you. In the midst of everything that life throws at us, He offers us joy through His Son. Joy in Jesus is not like hoping to win the lottery. It's the assurance of having found the greatest treasure. It's the joy of seeing Jesus clearly, trusting Him fully, and knowing that in Him all things hold together. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You for prophetically pointing to the moment when Jesus would be born. We thank You for the hundreds of prophecies that He has fulfilled. We thank You for removing any guesswork as to, is Jesus the light of the world? Is Jesus our salvation? Is Jesus the one that we've been waiting for to fill that emptiness in our lives? Is Jesus reliable? Beyond all probability, beyond all guesswork, Your Holy Bible, it clarifies for us exactly who You are. A faithful, loving, gracious God. God, we find our joy in You and in You alone. We rejoice because of Your favor towards us, Your love towards us. May we never lose sight. May we never lose sight of who You are. May we never forget Your faithfulness when everything around us lacks that quality. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank You for Your gift of joy. Joyfully pray this in Your holy name, Jesus.